T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're playing something from the Footloose soundtrack. So what? I don't care. That's the greatest soundtrack of all time.
It's funny when you and I were singing the chorus and neither one of us
had to look up the lyrics.
I was singing nonsensical words.
And I said I thought the chorus was right here, pot it down, and then pot it right back up.
Heaven helps the man who fights.
So right there, I thought he said heaven helps the man who fights his king. And he says, heaven helps the man who fights his fear. We looked it up.
Are they trying to be Pearl Jam?
I don't know, man. It's a great song. It's a great soundtrack. I don't care who you are. Anybody who says Footloose is not the greatest soundtrack of all time is
a liar. You're dead to us.
You're a liar.
Did you see from the text line, for the text line, thank you, 5957, for pointing out, driving through rain in Peculiar, Missouri. Thanks a lot, Mackie. And then literally like one iota of a second later, wow, the rain must have been coming from just one cloud because the rain in Peculiar is now over. I withdraw my malicious accusatory. So not my circus, not my monkeys. I am not responsible for bad weather today.
Okay. Malicious accusatory, what a nice choice of words. Good diction.
Yeah, they're smarter than we are.
They are more smarter.
And they are making sure that we know it.
They are the mostest smartest.
You've been watching the Olympics?
I haven't seen one white hot second of the Olympics. I have seen nada.
Really?
Nothing.
Is that unusual for you? Or are you boycotting them or something?
It's just, I don't know. It's just, it hasn't been my jam this year. I think I'm on the same plane as a lot of people because the ratings are tanking.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to in a minute. And don't worry, because you're right. What is today? Thursday? I think it was on Tuesday. Sam, they're right. We should have given a heads up. We're about to ruin your night for the handful of people who didn't know Simone Biles got the bronze and all that stuff. Because, the competition is in the early morning our time.
Right.
And then NBC, for obvious reasons, plays it at night, and then, but it's hard in today's world of Twitter and the internet and everything. I don't know how you don't, let me rephrase this sentence. I can't figure out how you can go all day without any idea of who wins in the stuff you're about to watch at night.
It's like not watching the Super Bowl and trying to tell people not to tell you what happened.
Yeah, you would have to stay off of every social media, anything. I mean, it's every...
We're noise-canceling headphones.
As soon as she won that bronze, it was like, bling, bling, bling. You know, all the alerts came on.
There have been times when, like, I've had to coach a soccer game and Nebraska's playing football at the same time, right? And there are a lot of Nebraska fans in Kansas City, no question. But I'll tell like my brother or people around me, don't tell me the score of the Nebraska game because I'm recording it at home. And inevitably, I will somehow, some way, whether I'm just either on Twitter or
back. It doesn't matter. It will magically appear.
Yes. It just find the score will find its way to me before I have time to get home and watch it on television.
A skywriter in the sky will write it in the air.
Yeah.
Well, and if you have the Peacock streaming app, you can also watch it live like the night before. It'll actually air live. And so my comment earlier about it aired live the night before, I forgot it wasn't actually on NBC. It was on
Peacock.
I know. Yeah, that seems a little ambitious. I did though. Did you see? I had an exclusive interview with Vlatko Andonovsky, who is the U.S. women's soccer coach, who, thank you very much, is based right here in Kansas City. I just posted that yesterday ahead of their bronze. Oh, did I give that away?
Yeah, you did.
Ahead of their they may or may not have won today.
Yeah, that was a very aggressive almost give it away.
Almost.
No, that was a give it away. Oh. That was a stone cold give it away.
All right, I'll take blame for that. That's on me.
Jerk.
They won the bronze. Good job, girls.
Way to go, Mackie.
I know.
Viewership, by the way, to your point, the ratings are, to say they're in the tank.
In the turlet.
Would be kind. Listen to this. This is from CNN Business. After pandemic-fueled delays last year, the Tokyo Olympics have gotten a lot of attention around this summer. Unfortunately for NBC, that attention is not translating into viewership. NBC's TV audience. Now, you would think normally when you know the media writes about the media and they say that the ratings are in the tank, usually anything between 5 to 15% off is your ratings are in the tank. Anywhere between 5 and 15% off. NBC's TV audience for the Summer Olympics is down 45%. 45% from the Rio Games in 2016. 45, cut in half. Viewership in prime time is even worse. It is down 51%, and that's where the money is.
But, like, literally, the amount of money that NBC had to pay, I mean, they're trying to monetize on every single outlet, the Peacock Network, online,
CNBC,
all of the things.
MSNBC. I don't think they're putting it on MSNBC, but they're putting it everywhere else.
And it's still gaining 45% less eyeballs.
And 51% fewer eyeballs in prime time, which is where the money is.
Now, I will say, though, I have probably read every single article on Simone Biles that there has been published in the last week. I'm obsessed with that story. I just have not watched a single second of her in Olympics action. Now, I mean, I might have seen a highlight or a clip here or there, but it's not appointment viewing.
Do they track streaming numbers?
Yeah, they do. The streaming numbers are good.
Okay.
But not, you know, the streaming numbers do not, the way I read this story, do not make up for the massive loss. And by massive loss, we're talking, keep this in mind, the good news for NBC is that its primetime TV coverage still averages roughly 13.5 million viewers. That's good. Any other show would consider 13.5 million viewers huge. But you got to remember, that's down 51% from 2016.
And look at and think about all those NBC affiliates across the country who are like jonesing to get like a ratings bump from the Olympics.
Leading into their news.
That's not happening.
Right. But streaming numbers are doing pretty good. It says here, the other bright spot for NBC is that the Tokyo Games have found an audience on digital platforms and streaming. The network boasted that Peacock, its streaming service, has notched strong viewership for the games. On Tuesday, NBC said the viewers had streamed 3 billion minutes of Olympics coverage. But why, in the traditional TV sense, the story goes on, are the ratings in free fall? After all, this is the Olympics, historically one of the most watched telecasts around the world.
Well, it's not here.
Its ability to bring together large swaths of viewers is one of the main reasons NBC is paying billions of dollars.
With a B.
To televise the games over the next decade. And I wonder, and I don't buy the, well, Megan Rapinoe kneels during the national anthem, so I'm not watching the Olympics. I don't believe that.
There's no boycotting.
It didn't hurt the NFL's ratings when people claimed that they were going to stop watching.
Right.
So.
And that is one woman on one team in one sport at the Olympics. So don't tell me it's Megan Rapinoe because I'm not going
to
buy it.
And the people that are angry about it say her name Rapinoe, and they don't even know how to pronounce her name.
And they probably wouldn't watch soccer anyway. They're not going to sit for 90 minutes of a soccer game watching somebody that they don't like. So, and by the way, the soccer games are always broadcast live in the morning. They don't put them in prime time. So we're talking about primetime viewers. I'm curious, why are you not watching the Olympics?
Well, here, this is from the text line, 6516. I quit watching because they wanted me to pay Peacock to watch what I wanted to watch when it was convenient for me. So,
but you couldn't pay, or let me backtrack. You didn't have that option in 2016.
No, you sure didn't.
And viewership is down 51%. It's not because you're not able to watch what you wanted to watch, because historically people have just watched whatever NBC fed them.
Right. Do you think everyone is just meh about the Olympics because of the pandemic?
Maybe. Is it the stands being empty? Here's one that I think might actually play into it a little bit. Because of the mass media world that we now live in, where you can find out like that, you already know, because the game is half the world away, or the event or the sport that you want to watch, you, if you're a casual fan, or I might tune in for that. You remember how it was before the Twitter and all this.
Right.
I mean,
you have to watch in order to find out who won.
Right. I mean,
or who medaled.
It was not hard to avoid figuring out who won what. You could easily avoid it during the course of your day. Just don't watch the ticker on ESPN. That's all you had to do.
Well, and now with social media, say you don't see the event that you want to see, you can find a video on Twitter or something and literally watch the whole event.
Right.
The entire event without all of the commercials and everything that you don't want to see.
Now, I do think that part of it, you know, it being in Japan, so everything is at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, live, I think that does play into it. But it also gives you more than 12 hours during the day to have somebody tell you that Simone Biles got bronze. Some idiot on the radio from Lansing can accidentally let it slip out that Simone Biles got the bronze, and then you're done for the night. No need to watch, because I just ruined it. It's like telling you Han Solo died. Yeah. 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. The ratings for the Olympics
aren't just down.
They are down.
Down.
Why? It's not that we're not patriotic. We're still patriotic people. We still want America to win, right?
This certainly ain't 1980 with the men's hockey game against Russia.
No. But the United States is doing well, very well in this Olympics. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. Why have we given up on the Olympics? Or have we?
Wait, Han Solo died?
That can mean only one thing.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, shalom.
Shalom.
We're talking about the Olympics, where viewership would be normally above 20 million for some of these events, especially the gymnastics and the swimming. NBC's lucky to pull in 13 million some nights.
Wait, and that's a lot. Well, wait, that's a lot, but that's 13 million. I'm sure only on big events, like no one's watching, like, I don't know, international ping pong.
No, but I did catch myself watching shot put last night and enjoyed it a lot.
Shot put?
Now, I don't know why. I have a couple of theories of my own. The text line's got quite a few. I'm not going to buy the, well, it's Megan Rapinoe and she doesn't stand up for the national anthem. Again, that is one player on one team in one sport that they do not put in prime time. The soccer games have always aired live. And quite frankly, most people...
That is like 0.0001%.
Yeah.
Not watching for her.
Most people, I understand, don't like soccer the way I do. So you wouldn't watch it anyway. So it's not Megan... Because all the other athletes seem to be extremely patriotic. And I use that word in air quotes. I don't think patriotism is defined by whether you stand or kneel for the anthem. But... That being said, I'm not buying the, well, Megan Rapinoe's the reason I'm not watching the Olympics.
Well, and there's three faces of controversy this year so far. We have Simone Biles, Megan Rapinoe, and Sha'Carri Richardson, which Sha'Carri wasn't herself doing the controversy. That was the Olympics saying you can't run. But even then, that's only three events.
Now, I would have watched her in a white hot second. I find her fascinating. I find her to be like next level, next gen, interesting and unique. And so I hope she comes back in 20, carry the two. Like, is it, was 2020 Olympics, so 2024?
2024, yeah.
Okay.
A lot, several people are saying, here's a great point. I love your text, 1881. My opinion on why Olympics viewership is down. I think this is true. My opinion on why Olympics viewership is down because the Olympics in Rio were basically in the same time zone. So everyone is already caught up on what's happened and who has won on social media and don't actually tune in because they already know.
Right, because Tokyo is a world away.
Somebody used the term in a previous text. By the time it hits prime time on TV at night, it's old news. All right. Okay.
I'm trying to think of the last thing that I actually like sat down, Olympics-wise, and sat down and watched. And it's been a hot minute.
See, this one I don't understand. 4856, right? Sports in general used to be a break from your reality. I don't know if that's true. However, I'll continue. A way to zone out and forget day-to-day life. But now with the addition of wokeism, BLM, protesting, etc., the appeal is gone. We are bombarded with it all day long. Even if they don't act that way during the events, social media has tainted this.
Huh. Well, I mean, before, really, athletes didn't have a platform or, you know, now they have Twitter. I mean, they can reach out to their fans, the viewers. They can voice their opinions. I mean.
Let's go to Tyler in Independence. Hello.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Scott, Michael, greetings.
Greetings.
The biggest thing is that the Olympics has a natural draw for, you know, over a century. But in this one, it's postponed for a year. And the PR nightmare that would bring onto it, you don't have really the same athletes that would have competed a year ago. There's the stories of the hometown, people like that. You put that out there a year later, it's in page 7, you know, because there's something else. There's a big elephant in the room that everyone talks about. Every little bit of, as you know, every little bit of time on the air is money. And most of these stories of these athletes, not just American athletes, because the Olympics is not about who makes the most, you know, records or anything. It's actually a humanity thing of all different nations coming together and seeing, you know, a physical achievement. And all that got lost in the pandemic, some, you know, selfish or self-interest, and it hurt. We had an incredible Olympics on the swimming side. Over a third of those kids were all teenagers. I mean, that is amazing.
But wouldn't you think that something as global as a pandemic and the idea that we're all, you know, whether it's true or not, that we're all in this together, don't you think that would draw people more to watch the Olympics?
Well, when someone did that PR note, they didn't include that a year ago, and they didn't stick with it. It would have been great, Scott. It would have been perfect, because this would have been an opportunity for all of us to try to do that. And instead, it kind of got, it looked like watching mud. Now, I watched as much as I could. Unfortunately, you know, watching it from the YouTube thing, and that was really about all I got a chance to do. But it was, I think when you look back at these Olympics later, a lot of people are going to find out that it was one of, as far as the athletic achievement and how these guys and gals and Ken were able to produce what they did out in the field, we're going to find that there was some incredible stories
to
be told.
Dude, I'm watching shot put last night. They're setting records with every throw.
And how did they do that under, I mean, that's a heck of a lot of self-motivation, doing that in probably in the worst conditions you possibly could.
Yeah, right on. Hey, Tyler, great call, man. Good to hear
call.
Your voice.
I'm right
you,
there.
You haven't watched a minute.
No, I have not. I mean, I've watched highlights, but I need a good underdog story. I need some sort of backstory to get me fired up to watch, like, I don't know, somebody from small town America who is living their Olympic dream. And
but aren't they all?
I mean, I need something that I can, like, hang my hat on. Like, maybe your shot put, who were cleaning up records last, or breaking records right and left.
And a lot of it, I think, is the app, because I've watched a ton of it. I've watched most of the swimming and most of the track and field, but I have not set my eyes on NBC once.
What is their coverage like?
It's good.
It's awesome. They have four different channels on the app. There's four different options for live coverage. They're all anchored. They're all done well. It's good.
But it's not Bob Costas.
No, I actually haven't seen Bob Costas once.
Bob Costas dead?
No. Oh. We watched the main NBC and then some of the good stuff that they put on CNBC. But we have been watching the actual network, Sam, and the coverage is good. If there's one complaint that I hear from a lot of people, and I share it, there are too many backstories. They need to get, you know, we get it, all right? So-and-so adopted 11 children, great story, let's move on.
Well, and even then, if there isn't that true backstory, they find a way to, you know, juice it up.
Also, here's 9 minutes of commercials.
Michael Mackey. Infiltrated.
Sorry, 10 minutes. Here's 11 minutes of commercials with some Olympics sprinkled in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let me grab one more call, and then we'll move on. We're talking about the Olympics and the abysmal ratings.
In the turlet.
Yeah, and then we'll get moving on to some other stuff here, including a push to get the United States at least 50% non-gas cars in less than a decade. He said. We'll wrap up the Olympic discussion with Jim and Lee Summit. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're doing well, man. Thank you.
I think you underestimate the effect of the anti-American, the few anti-American athletes. If you compare the 20 million viewers from the last Olympics to now at 13, that really only represents about 3% of the American public. And so if you look at a cross-section of America and you wonder how many people out of the 100 would be offended by what the athletes have expressed outside of the Olympic venues. And I have to think that there are probably more than 3 out of every 100 who say, I'm going to choose not to watch the Olympics.
But Jim, let me, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to have a polite conversation with you on something we may disagree with, but that's okay. You're talking about these athletes. I can only think of two off of the top of my head that someone like yourself or somebody who finds that to be offensive, horribly offensive enough that you would turn off the Olympics, can even name. And one would be Megan Rapinoe from the soccer team. And the other would be that one, and I don't even remember the sport right now, the gal who turned her back when she got third place at the U.S. trials, which means all she's going to do is not win a medal when she has to go up against world-class athletes from all other nations. And we're talking, and the United States has hundreds and hundreds of athletes at the Olympic Games who I think you would argue are very patriotic, who cry when they're on the podium and the U.S. national anthem is being played. And their accomplishments are being not watched, for lack of a better term, because of Megan Rapinoe?
I think that the media, NBC included, has shot themselves in the foot. I think they've made such a big deal out of the less than patriotic athletes' activities. You know, it's interesting. I read an article just today, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, young man, from Buena Vista, Colorado. And he's a discus thrower. And he had a bad day. He's pretty good. And he had a bad day. And so his post-performance interview was, I had a bad day on the wrong day, and I'm so disappointed for my family and people in my town and in my country. I sure wish I could have done better for them.
Sure.
But what the heck. And that, it was a story that you know, made you smile, made you happy to be an American.
Okay.
And I think when NBC, amongst them, is going on and giving all of the publicity to the turnaround group, they do themselves a disservice. And to think, and we're only talking about 3 people out of 100.
I understand, but Jim, I think you and I are, and we're going to move on to another topic, but, and I'll let you get the last word. I do not believe that NBC is profiling people who are turning their back on the flag or Megan Rapinoe taking a knee. With respect to you, Jim, and I don't mean disrespect in any way, and I watch way too much news on TV. The station that is paying the most attention to Megan Rapinoe and the gal who turned her back during the anthem, quite frankly and quite honestly, is Fox News.
Well, that very well may be the case. However, do you think that those activities, that type of activity by an athlete, is going to offend less than 3% of our population? What do you think the percentage of Americans who are put off by that?
Okay.
What do you think that percentage is?
All right, but keep in mind, and we'll end this conversation here, Jim, and I appreciate it, but I'll try to answer your question very quickly. I think you're misconstruing the 3% of the population that is watching the Olympics at any given moment, with all being people who might be offended by that activity. And it's not exclusive. It's not just everybody else is just not watching, and only people who would stand up for the flag no matter what. I would never sit down during the national anthem. I would jump to my feet. And I think most Americans do and would. However, I don't get easily offended, period, but I certainly don't get offended when people take a knee for the national anthem. It's not for me. It's not what I would do. I would encourage everyone to stand up and show some respect. But I also haven't walked in their shoes. And I've said this before, I think the right for them to take a knee is exactly what my father fought for. And I truly believe that. I don't like it, but I don't have to like it. That is their right, and it does not affect whether or not I'm interested in other athletes performing at the games. And I'm not going to rob them of the opportunity to enjoy watching their performance because one athlete or two athletes don't show the respect that I think the flag deserves. All right, moving on. USA Today. President Joe Biden says he is signing an executive order today. This is not politics, by the way. That sets a target for zero emissions vehicles to account for half of all automobiles sold in the United States by 2030. Need not remind you, Mr. Mackey, we are 4 months away from 2022.
Good luck with that.
It is an ambitious goal that hinges on major investments by the federal government on charging stations and other infrastructure. The non-binding target is part of a series of actions the president says he'll announce aimed at jump-starting a dramatic shift toward electric vehicles as part of the administration's broader agenda to tackle climate change and compete with China. The White House estimated the new EPA rules would save roughly 200 billion gallons of gasoline and reduce 2 billion metric tons of carbon pollution, resulting in $900 in savings for consumers over a vehicle's lifespan. Ooh, a whole $900.
Ooh.
Exciting. Wow, where am I going to spend it? Officials say the fuel efficiency and emission standards could result in about $140 billion in net benefits over the life of the program.
Okay, well, I mean, God bless and Godspeed. I don't think that's realistic, but...
50% of vehicles in the United States would... I guess it would be electric or on natural gas, right?
Maybe a hybrid, but I mean, people aren't going to give up their gas cars.
I don't want to poo-poo the idea of electric cars because I do like it. I just, for the life of me, have never been able to figure out how we would make this work.
Well, and one thing that nobody in the electric car business is willing to address is what are they going to do with all of those lithium batteries that don't last forever and you can't recycle them? And they burn forever if they catch on fire.
Plus, how are people, the 18 billion people who live in apartment complexes, how are they going to plug their cars in? I mean, how? I mean,
yeah, it's just not
logical. That's a great point.
This not is to not, mention,
yeah.
How do we generate that electricity?
Right.
Coal.
Osmosis.
Yeah. Sam, I'm glad you brought that up. That is something that has made me scratch my head 1,000 times.
Oy.
We want to get rid of gas guzzling cars, and I'm all for improving the environment. God knows. I recycle the cardboard in the middle of my toilet paper roll. I do.
Well, gold star.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But that is something that gets missed in this argument over electric cars. We want to get rid of gasoline-guzzling cars because of the emissions into the atmosphere and what that does to our environment. Yet to get that electricity that you would use to charge up your electric vehicle, we have to burn coal.
Well, you are saving $900 a year.
That's a good... No. $900 over the life of your vehicle.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're saving $900.
I'm going to get a couple oil changes. I don't know if I'm going to have time.
Yay! Maybe a new pair of tires.
Got a full board. We'll take as many of you as we can when we get back. The great Michael Mackey from In Kansas City Magazine. You can find them online and on Facebook. Make sure you like their Facebook page.
Ooh, go to our Facebook page, In Kansas City Magazine.
All right, Michael Mackey filling in today for Dana Wright. And in advance, I appreciate your time. It's always good to see you.
Oh, you know I love you.
Always good to see you. Sam Stevie III here on KMBZ. The president today announcing a plan. It is non-binding, by the way. It's a target, really. To get the U.S. to 50% zero emission vehicles. Read that. I do at least. Electric or natural gas.
It's electric.
by the year 2030, 8 years from now. It's an ambitious goal. They recognize that. That hinges on major investments from the federal government on charging stations and other infrastructure. And Mr. Mackey, I thought you had a brilliant point. Electric cars sound great. They really do.
In theory.
Yeah. But where do I charge mine? Outside of my garage. There are a couple of spots at every gas station, or not every gas, every grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anybody use them.
No.
And what do you do? Let's say I'm handicapped. I've never seen a charging station at the handicap stalls.
No.
I've seen diesel trucks parked in the EV stalls because they just don't care. They know that nobody's going to park
Nobody
there,
uses
so
they
just park.
Right. And your best point was, what do people in apartments do? They park on the street. Or wherever they can find a spot.
I mean,
you put them in parking garages?
Imagine that crazy amount of people jockeying for position on like the two electric outlets that are available. Don't those take a hot minute to charge? It's not like you plug it in and then like an hour later your car's ready. Don't they take like 6 to 8 hours to recharge?
I don't know the answer.
I mean,
to
if
that.
You have a supercharger which pulls a lot of wattage, it'll charge it pretty quickly. But they're not going to have superchargers down a city street for people in apartments in, say, like Chicago or New York or something.
I'm going to get a supercharger.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's get to the phones. Karen in Lewisburg. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, guys. I wanted to call and say I am so tired of this country coming up with solutions like the batteries in the cars and nuclear energy, and we don't have a solution for the byproduct. You know, just like your person that answers the phone said, you can't recycle those lithium batteries. They're going to get into our water supply and everything else. And why can't we use helium? There are helium car engines out there. It doesn't pollute, and I guess the reason we don't use it is because it doesn't cost anything. But we just keep creating all of this pollution.
Helium. Do you mean hydrogen?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, because I was going to say your engine would go from vroom to vroom vroom.
Dana wouldn't drive it if it was helium because you know how she feels about hot air balloons. What a death trap.
Your car would be floating, Karen.
Yes. But, you know, there was something on the news the other day. This one company had bought all of these little electric cars for deliveries and stuff, and they bought like 300 of them. They're all sitting in a field because they need new batteries, and the battery costs.
Oh, Karen, I think we lost you.
Karen down.
Jacob in Independence, you get the last word. Hello,
Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, guys. First off, she's wrong about them not being able to recycle. The reason we don't recycle them here is it's always been cheaper to ship them to China than to set up the infrastructure necessary to recycle the batteries. But it is possible to do it. It's just expensive. And by investing in it, we should have the ability to go ahead and do that now. The other thing is that everyone seems to forget is that batteries go flat when it gets cold, and a car battery is not immune to that, and neither are EVs. So I don't know how you feel about charging your car all night, coming outside, turn on the heater, get in, and it's all frozen and nothing works.
All right. Hey, Jacob, you got the last word.
Thanks,
do appreciate it. Michael Mackey on short notice. Thank you. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
You know me. I would go to the opening of an envelope. You just need to invite me.
Aww. We got to get out of here. On behalf of our producer today, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Michael Mackey from In Kansas City Magazine. Make sure you follow them on Facebook. Now, on behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie. My good friend and co-host today, Michael Mackey. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good.
And
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.